Yes, the Studium Generale Marcianum was established just over 7 years ago by the Patriarch of Venice, Cardinal Scola. It offers a whole series of various courses. There's the Faculty of Canon Law. There's the Institute of Theological Studies. Then we have various other programs. We have a higher school of research into economics, theology, and politics and their interaction, where we have various international authorities come to give talks. We have summer schools on this area. We also have offer a master's degree in ethics and management of small industries, especially directed to the Veneto region. We have specialities in cultural study, especially in art and cultural activities connected, obviously, with Venice, and also specialized studies in bioethics. Why Studium Generale Marcianum? The phrase Studium Generale, or general studium, is, of course, at the origins of the university. Before universities were known actually as universities, they were known as Studia Generalia. And the choice of the name is specific because our idea at the Studium Generale is based on the concept, two concepts. One is the rapidly changing society in which we live and how educational, Catholic educational institutions can meet that. And secondly, on the reality that seems to us fairly obvious in modern, especially Western society, of the fragmentation of knowledge. And that this has caused, this rapid development and the fragmentation of knowledge, has caused a particular problem with respect to the individual, that is, their understanding of truth and their understanding of knowledge. And so what we aim to do here is to concentrate on the unity of knowledge, which was rather typical of the original medieval universities, the unity of knowledge, there's various branches, various disciplines of knowledge, in order that the individual will also have a unity within himself or herself. In a certain sense, I like to think of the Marcianum as the Catholic educational response in a unique and particular way to the whole question that has been put forward by the present pontiff, the relationship between faith and reason. And this is a new approach, a new possibility to that challenge of how to react and understand the profound relationship between faith and reason and how to do it in an educational, Catholic educational formative experience.
A new approach, but one that is quite clearly rooted in some very old ideas. How concretely are you adapting this educational vision to the exigencies of the contemporary world?
I think there are two or three things that we do. One is size. It's not our intention ever to be a massive university, which in my opinion is one of the problems with modern university education, that they've become far too large. What does that mean? That physically and structurally and also personally, and by personally I mean the ability to actually physically meet and talk with other people, becomes terribly difficult for students and indeed professors to talk with students or professors from other faculty, from other schools and other faculties, other disciplines. So structurally our size is always going to be limited, even though we have over 1,000 students, one way or another, coming through the studium every day. Secondly, this permits students to literally live in community with other disciplines, not only with other people, but other people from other disciplines, and discuss them, either at table or just generally between classes and so on. So that's an important thing. A third unique aspect of this unity of the person, the education here, is that the Marcianum, the Studium Generale Marcianum, stretches from infancy as students through the secondary school education to university and research, and that all of them feel part of the same institution. So that this break, for instance, which you often see between secondary school and then going to university, as if university was something completely and utterly new, is somehow, we hope and slowly, overcome. And for instance, especially with the students here in Italy, in Venice, at the Liceo, the last two or three years of secondary school education, one of the practical advantages is that professors from the university can often teach courses or offer talks and so on to the students in the liceo, and the school students can come to conferences where we have Nobel Prize winners, international scholars and so on, who come here and speak. So this last summer at our summer school, we had Professor Robbie George from the University of Princeton come and speak about philosophical, social questions and so on. This is an ongoing process. So this sense, this physical structural sense, in a real structural sense, of understanding and living and realizing that knowledge isn't fragmented and therefore the person isn't fragmented, faith and reason can live together and we can live that, is something I think that is quite unique at this moment. What I will say in my very brief address to the Pope, one of the things I will underline is that the Macharam, though responding to a new and obvious challenge in society and indeed in the church of this fragmentation of knowledge, of this absolute fundamental requirement that faith and reason aren't separated and that they live together, given the newness of this challenge and the requirement of the church and especially educational institutions to respond to it, is that in fact our response is ex corde ecclesiae, from the heart of the church. And that's something I want to underline, that we're not being new in the sense of rejecting what the church already offers. And in fact, one of the problems perhaps over the last 30 or 40 years has been, in terms of meeting these new responses, these, and the challenges are obvious to anyone who lives in Western society, I suppose, is that we have forgotten that in responding to these new challenges, the church offers from within its heart, from the heart of the church, from within its tradition, an enormous tradition that can respond to these. That is, without the church, the university, at least as we understand it, and by that I mean the medieval university, essentially, in Bologna and Paris and perhaps in Salerno or Naples, and then Oxford and so on, that is from the mid-12th century, thereabouts, can only be understood in terms of its relationship with the church and its coming forth from the heart of the church. In exactly, if one reads the statutes of these early universities, if one reads discourses of those, the texts of those teaching in the various disciplines of those universities, what does one find is a constant, as you suggest, fides quaerens intellectum, trying to understand what the faith means before the various sciences, the various disciplines that were taught at that stage, and never, never with the idea that somehow that they were opposed. In fact, they both supported and fed one another in a very positive way.
The Holy Father, and I know that this isn't this trip, but he was recently in England to beatify someone who had his own ideas about the university. So this is something that's dear to the Holy Father. How is the thinking, how is his thinking influencing, guiding your work here? Whether his is that of Blessed Cardinal Newman or the Holy Father?
Absolutely both are guiding our work here. I suppose one way to explain how, without getting into detail, is to, just comes to mind, is the motto as a cardinal of Cardinal Newman, which was cor ad cor loquitur, that is heart speaking to heart. And I think the thought of the present pontiff on a whole range of issues, faith and reason and so on, and the thought and experience of Newman on a whole range of philosophical, theological, structural, his whole effort involved in his writing of the idea of a university, influences, because heart is speaking to heart. We believe, both obviously what the Pope writes and reflects upon, what Cardinal Newman, or the Blessed John Henry Newman, reflected upon, and it's a heart speaking to heart. But there's a further development of that heart speaking to heart. One of our tasks here, as obviously of any Catholic institution, is that what comes from the heart of the church, expressed in this case by the heart of the pontiff and that of John Henry Newman, we need somehow, and we're working at it, to transmit to the heart of contemporary society. And that's also one of the challenges and one of the tasks that we have at the Macharam, to transmit, not to impose, but to transmit these fundamental values to modern society. And so that is why we, for instance, our research school called Asset in Italian, which is the higher school of theology, economics, and politics. Why theology? Because we're convinced that theological discipline has an important role to play in politics and economics. It obviously has an important role to play in the whole bioethical question. And that's our way, as our heart of the church, speaking to the heart of modern society with these questions, in which we can discuss together and research together on these issues.
You're built into the seminary here. You're right inside the structure. Are you primarily concentrating on forming clergy, or is there also an element of laity present?
We live in the same, physically, in the same enormous palace from the 17th century as the seminary. And obviously, the idea of the Patriarch from the beginning was a practical one. The palace is just far too large for the present needs of the seminary. And secondly, that the seminary also, even though quite separate, absolutely separate in terms of statutes, in terms of its own lifestyle, its own timetable, can profit from the activities that we offer. The seminarians attend some of the classes and so on. It depends on their particular ratio studiorum of the seminary. Lay people, we certainly are not in any way, shape or form exclusively directed to the formation of clergy. Well, that's certainly not the case. We are, as the words imply, universitas, or studium generale, universitas, involving, obviously, a whole group of people. What does that mean in practice? We have a good number of clergy who come here, especially for canon law, but not only, also for other courses, and we have a vast number of lay people following various courses. What we aim to do in those is obviously to present the Catholic tradition in those particular disciplines. But the Catholic tradition can never be presented simply in some sense as being as if one were antiquarian. You know, it's fascinating looking at nice books but never reading them. We want them to understand the tradition and in the process offer that understanding and not only offer, but because they've realized the richness of that tradition, to offer it to the society in which they live. And we do that at a structural level as well, in terms of conferences, inviting people, being, I think, very active in the Venetian life. There's another aspect of Venice that's unique. Historically, Venice has always been sui generis, both politically and in terms of its relationship with the rest of Italy and indeed the rest of Europe. Indeed, it was a republic until the late 18th century, virtually, 1790s. So Venice has always had a very unique historical approach to the whole question of relationship with other countries, which are much larger than it ever was, but also had an enormous advantage of being open to the East. And by the East, not just Greece and Turkey, which are a short distance away, but as far as China, one thinks of Marco Polo. This vocation of Venice to be open to the East is something that continues to this day, and it's still obviously tangible. It's tangible in Venice in its architecture. One only has to go into St. Mark's Basilica to see the influence of Byzantium on the mosaics and the whole structure, architecture of the basilica. But my impression after 4 years here, is that Venice still holds dearly to this rather unique vocation. And so that offers the Marchanum a particular aspect, because one of the other areas in the Marchanum established by the Patriarch and dear to him is the Center Oasis, which is a center that's been going for 7 or 8 years now, dedicated to Islamic, Christian, Catholic relations, especially the question of Catholics and Christians, minorities in predominantly Islamic countries. We have conferences every year. This year it will be at Venice. Last year it was in Jordan, I think, either in the Middle East. The conference is made up of many bishops who work in these countries, in Pakistan, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, and so on. And this also builds into the whole question of this openness to the world, to a part of the world. And Venice can play a role that virtually no other city, I think, in Europe can play. Because historically, it's always been rather neutral. Whereas, you know, London, Paris, Rome have never historically been simply neutral. Renaissance has always been terribly neutral in this thing. And people respond to this in a way that is quite unique, it seems to me. And therefore, the Marchanum, our institute here, feeds into that in a profound, structurally through Oasis, but also it's part of that ferment of being open to the whole. And people from the East, in the broadest sense of the word, readily come to Venice, authorities of various nature, readily come to Venice because it seems to me Venice is unthreatening but open to dialogue in the positive and best sense of the word.